What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 406, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I was just monitoring the stream like I do, you know, before all of them. And I remembered, and I don't think it's in our show notes, and maybe I'm just going to spoil your thunder, but we hit 35,000 subscribers.
Oh, yeah, on YouTube. Yeah, we did.
It's actually on YouTube. It's actually 35.1. So, like, nice.
Yeah, we're getting up there, you know, 35,000. Yeah. We did post it on social media. I didn't even know it happened. I got, like, an email from whatever that plugin is.
VidIQ?
Yeah, VidIQ. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, crap, like 35,000. That's awesome. So thank you, guys. We definitely appreciate all you guys. Everybody who subscribes and interacts with us, you know, we definitely appreciate it. So definitely awesome there in the live chat. We have my buddy Corey. What's going on, man? Corey's been trying to come out to California, man. I got to get him out here at some point. But yeah, we were – so it's so funny. So we took last week off because I was coming back from my trip.
Yep.
And the week before, I said, see you guys next week, knowing that we weren't going to have a podcast. So for everybody who thought we were going to have a podcast this week, I apologize. But yeah, I took like 4 days off, technically five, because I missed my flight. First time I've ever missed a flight.
But you didn't really miss it. Like,
I didn't miss it. I just couldn't get on your flight. I couldn't get on my flight. So I spent like an extra day in Hawaii, which was, you know, not a bad
worse places.
Yeah, it was not a bad thing. But yeah, no, I feel like I don't know how you're because you went on vacation like a month ago. I felt like I needed a vacation. Like I needed a couple days off, and it was really nice to unplug. And obviously going to Hawaii was like a really nice unplug, like hiking. I did snorkeling. It was the first time I used my GoPro underwater, so that was fun.
How'd that turn out? Pretty good.
Yeah, it turned out so well. Like, so we went with like this company to do like these jet snorkels. So you hold this like jet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they had mounts on the front, so I just mounted it on there. And like they had a guy in there doing footage, and I feel like my GoPro footage turned out better, but they only did theirs at like 1080 and I was shooting mine at 5.3K. So, you know, because they airdrop it to you after, like right after. So they can't have these large files. But no, that was a bunch of fun. That's really the only tech that I used. I didn't bring my Pocket 3 at all. Didn't bring my big camera. All I brought was a GoPro and my phone. Nice. So it's like it was a nice unplug. I did bring my laptop just in case anything, you know, website goes down.
Yeah,
better than working off your phone for that. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was just really, really nice to unplug. I was really upset because I had told you this before I left. I flew to Hawaii from San Diego on Hawaiian Airlines.
Yeah.
And on their website, it says like by the end of 2024. We'll have Starlink on all of our flights. So I'm like, all of our flights to and from Hawaii. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got to get it on one of these flights. Didn't get it at all. Cause I was like, I want to see how fast Starlink is on the plane. Like, cause typically, sure. I mean, I'm sure you've bought internet on the plane before.
Yeah.
It's not great.
So I mean, it's like, fine.
Yeah. So, but I was like, oh, cool. I get to try out Starlink. Didn't get it on any of the flight. Yeah. So fail. Yeah. Yeah. We also have old man in the chat. Good to see you here. Yeah, he says it's rare that he catches the streams on time. Yeah. We miss you the past couple times. So good to see you here as well. We are going to jump into all of our reviews. A lot to talk about this week. Lots of new products launching, which is weird because we have Computex coming up and we have some product launches and things like that before Computex, which is a little weird. And everything like that. But if you do want to follow along, of course, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So if you want to click through or save an article for later or whatever, it is all right here. Now we're going to start off with this monitor that I have right here. I should have actually turned it on. It is an excellent monitor. It is the Gigabyte Aorus FO27Q3. we did get a sneak peek of this at CES, but there was like no real specs. It was just sitting there. And they just said that it's 1440p at 360 hertz. We didn't know anything else really about it. But this is 27 inch QD OLED panel, 360 hertz refresh rate. And I've been playing games on this thing. And it, oh man. And I have to send
looks
it
good, back. Huh?
I'm not happy that I have to send it back to Gigabyte. So yeah, it's such, I think we see OLED all the time. We've seen it at CES for years now. But until you actually really sit down, like Ryan's always the test dummy at CES, and he gets to play. Like when we go see Samsung and stuff, he gets to play on these monitors and play some games. But until you really spend a lot of time, you don't notice how big of a difference it is going from, you know, like a normal monitor to an OLED. And this is just like just the quality. The how vibrant, how deep the blacks are too, is just, that's just what an OLED offers. It's really, really good. And on top of that, with this monitor, you are getting 360 hertz refresh rate. So this is 1440p at 360 hertz. So there is, you know, if you're in the 4070 Ti to the, you know, through the 4090, you should be able to push that in certain titles. And, you know, if you are an FPS gamer, it's, you're going to definitely take advantage. And for those wondering, you know, we did this test, what, 3 years ago now at NVIDIA, where we were on the 300 hertz monitor. Like you can, it does make a competitive difference in FPS style games because you're getting more frames. And they did a test where like we were shooting on, I don't know, was it 144 or was it?
Yeah, I don't remember all of the, it was between two, it was between maybe 144 and 360 maybe.
Yeah, and you could definitely, like, you scored better at the 360. So I was like playing Apex Legends and I was doing really well, and I don't do good. So.
Maybe you need to buy this monitor then.
Oh, I'm going to be playing on it tonight. I'm going to go all over there and play Apex tonight. You know, so it is just, the overall gaming experience and the visual experience that you're going to get with this monitor is amazing. And it's one of, like, if you're a competitive gamer, you're playing Counter-Strike, you're playing Apex, you're playing COD, you're playing what all the kids play these Overwatch, all those type of games. If you're real serious about it and you're looking to upgrade, this is a really good choice for that. And like I said, on top of that, you're getting everything that you get with OLED, with the visual clarity, with the deep blacks and all of that. And this is going to last you a very long time. But just like going over the monitor in general, like I said, 27 inch panel, which I know a lot of people say 24 is if you're using a single monitor, like 24 is the way to go. But I really like this 27. It does have their stand. I don't like these stands. That's my personal opinion. They wing out like this, and then they just take up too much desk space, in my opinion, especially if you are like a desk mat. I'm a desk mat guy, and like the desk mat will go over like the edge, like these, you know.
Or you've got to set it on top of it, and then it's like,
yeah,
toppily. Yeah.
So that was one of the things that I didn't like about this monitor. But this stand gives you quite a lot of adjustment. So here it's at its lowest setting, at its highest setting, you can swivel back and forth. You can tilt up and down. And this is one of the few monitors that you can do fully portrait on the stand. Of course, a ton of monitors you can do portrait if you have a monitor arm. But if you, like I said, you can't do it on the stand. The only ones that really do it on the stand are like the Samsung, what are those ones called? Cockpit ones?
Yeah, I can't think of that.
Yeah, the Samsung ones you can, but for like a normal gaming monitor, most don't offer this. So that's pretty cool that you can do that on the stand. And this has a ton of built-in features. One of the coolest that you don't really expect to talk about when it comes to a gaming monitor is the actual speakers. They are good. They are so good that I've been playing just with the speakers over there.
Wow, okay, yeah,
they're really, really good. I mean, the panel is super thin, but back here you have some really great speakers that work really well. So if you are somebody, or you're playing with friends, maybe playing games with friends, and you want everybody to hear, you know, what's going on, these do sound really good, especially if you do, like, over there I have it against the wall, so you kind of have some of that backfiring. It's really, really good speakers. And you can see just how thin. I mean, it is a very, very thin display for the
most part. It's flat as well.
Yes, it's flat. No curve. Mm-hmm. Corey in the chat asks, what about a 32-inch monitor? I say 24, 27, I think, is perfect for FPS-style games. I think if you go up to 32, you do get a little of, like, turning your head a little bit, I would say. And things are a little bit more stretched when you get to 32 as well. Yeah. At least in my opinion, I would say with anybody, if you have the chance to do a 30-day return, whether it's on Amazon or Best Buy, or go into Best Buy and actually try to sit in front of these monitors, I think that's going to give you the best idea of what works best for you. but if you can buy a monitor where you get the 30-day return, you definitely want to do that to see if it really works for you. Now, when it comes to connections, you have two HDMI, one DisplayPort. These are the HDMI 2.1. So if you are a console gamer, that also means that you can connect these to PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X and play at 120 hertz. So you can do that as well, or 120 FPS. So you can do that, which is really nice. Then you see this Type-C over here, and this Type-C is really cool. So this is a Type-C connection that has alternate mode. So basically, it's like a DisplayPort connection. So you can plug this right in to, you know, a Type-C on a laptop, and then that laptop is going to be projected onto the monitor. On top of that, it does have power delivery. So you can also power that, like a lot of laptops, especially the thin and lights, only have one port that's shared for power as well. So this has power delivery. But on top of that, you can also just use it to power devices. Plug in your phone, plug in a controller, charge your mouse or keyboard. You can do all of that, which is really, really nice. And then on the opposite side, we have a downstream USB. So that connects to whatever, you know, PC that you're using, and then you get two USB ports, so you can easily go ahead and, you know, plug in your keyboard and mouse right here on the monitor itself, which is nice, especially if you're doing like wireless. You can have your two dongles, so they're super close to the mouse as well, or super close to, you know, wherever you're using everything. And then you have headphone and microphone jacks here. Now, the really cool thing also is that if you have, say, a keyboard and mouse connected to this, and then you connect the device via the Type-C, there's a KVM sort of built into this. So you hit the KVM button, and then everything that's connected over here will work on that laptop as well. Right. So some really cool dock, features. Kinda. Yeah, so it's basically like a dock. So it's some really cool features built into this, which I really, really like there, which is definitely awesome. You know, selecting everything, you just have to go in I have an NVIDIA graphics card, so you just go in and select 360 hertz. You want to make sure you do this. We see this on Reddit all the time, where people are like, well, I've had this 144 hertz monitor, 240 hertz monitor for a year, 2 years, and I've had it on 60 hertz.
Yeah, they're like, I didn't really notice a difference.
Yeah, so you want to make sure, and the options that you do get, and I use DisplayPort, is 60 hertz, 120, 240, and 360. And talking about size, like I said, when it comes to 27, it's going to be great for single monitor or single window type use. You know, if you do want to do like cut windows, like here, like two different windows, it is going to be sort of crunched for productivity, obviously, in my opinion, not the best. Like Corey was saying in the chat, if you did want to go up to 32, you can do more of like two screens at once. Corey also asked in the chat, does that Type-C support fast charging? It is an 18-watt charger. You can get up to 18 watts out of it. So if your phone does support fast charging, it should work. I think most will do fast charging at 15 watts. So you should be good there. One of the things when it comes to OLEDs is people do talk about text clarity. So it's kind of hard to show. And in this image, especially through the stream, you're not going to be able to tell. But you will see red sort of fringing around the text. And people have complained about this a lot. I used this monitor for 3 weeks. And while in this image, you can see the red fringing, me looking at the monitor, I didn't notice it at all. This is very zoomed in too. This is like a I took a picture of the monitor. So I don't think, in my opinion, you're going to notice it as like the plain eye. Like, you're not going to notice it. People have talked about like getting headaches and stuff. Not in my testing with this monitor. I didn't notice it. But that's a per person thing. The on-screen menu is great. Allows, you know, it's really nice. And there's a little joystick right in the center under the monitor. So really easy to go ahead and access everything. It's not one of those clunky ones. We've all seen the clunky, menu systems for monitors. This one's really nice, really easy to find everything. And they do have software called their Sidekick, which allows you to change some settings, but there's a lot of settings that are not in the Sidekick that you do get on this monitor. So I don't know if they need to update the software or whatever it may be, but not everything is in here. So I would just use the one that's on the monitor itself. And then another big thing when it comes to OLEDs is burn-in. We've seen that, especially with like a lot of first generation OLED panels, is sure. Burn-in. And that's the worst thing that you want to get when you're spending this amount of money for a monitor. It's just, you know. So they have a lot of really cool things. They have their whole thing is called OLED Care. It's in the menu system, in the monitor. A lot of it runs by itself. You don't have to do anything. So they have six different things that really are made to keep the monitor fresh so you don't get any burn-in. One of the biggest things is they have a thing called pixel shift, which actually will sort of nudge the display up one pixel or down one pixel. So it's not in that same thing. And it's completely, you don't notice it. Like, it's happening and you don't notice it. So right. If you're in game and you're like, wait, it's going to move and I'm going to miss my headshot. Like, you're not, you don't notice anything like that. They also, if you're not using the display, it will dim the display automatically. So you don't have to worry about it being like full bore all the time. And then they have sub logo dim and corner dim as well. So, you know, in our games, we have our map or our, you know, stuff in the corners, right? It will dim those out and it will detect, say you're watching like this video and say we had like a big Think Computers logo on the screen and it's constantly there, right? Yep. It will dim that out so it's not constant on the screen. And you can set different parameters for a lot of these as well. So you can kind of control how they work and things like that. But they're like the OLED Care is really great on this. And on top of that, they do have a 3-year warranty on this display that does cover burn-in. So if you do get any type of burn-in in those 3 years, they will cover it, which is really, really nice. They do have some tactical features. I want to talk about a couple of these. One, of course, we've seen this before, is that it puts its own crosshair on the screen. This can be helpful sometimes in certain games to have your own crosshair. But, you know, there's a bunch of different crosshairs to choose from. And it would just always be in the center of the screen. So that can definitely help you. The other one I thought was really cool. It's called Eagle Eye. And it's kind of hard to see in this image. But this is actually, it takes the center of this little center of the screen right here, and it's essentially a zoomed in picture-in-picture image. So if you look at this image, I'm standing around the same place, and you can see how far away this guy looks. And if you look at the next image, he's a lot closer. That's because it's essentially doing a picture-in-picture and then zooming that image in. So if you're doing any, like, this would be great for sniping. I was like,
this seems like so much, this seems so cheaty.
Yeah, for sure. But it's part of the monitor. But yeah, so you could do that. Is like I was messing around with the Kraber in Apex with it, and it, I mean,
helps out.
Yeah, it definitely helps out. So that's really cool. That's a really cool feature. And they have this other feature, which I don't think it makes a lot of sense. There's you you press one of the buttons on the monitor and it's a tactical switch. And maybe, I guess, if you're having like performance issues or something, you could use it. But basically what it does is it drops the resolution down to 1080p and the refresh rate down to 240 hertz. And it moves the screen down to like a 24-inch size. So you can see the image here is not all the way on the screen, and you can just switch back and forth. Maybe if you're having performance issues, it's like a quick fix. You know, like if you're in a tournament or something, it's a quick fix. I don't see it as being all that useful, but it is, again, part of the monitor. And like I said, performance-wise, this is just amazing. I mean, it is. Pictures don't do it justice. I took some videos of me playing FPS and playing Helldivers 2 on it, if you want to watch that video. But go see these in person. Go see an OLED in person. It's the only way to really, you know, enjoy.
Yeah, we can tell you how great they are, but until you see it, you don't understand usually.
Yeah. So overall, I really, really like this monitor. Like I said, the only things that I didn't like about it was that the stand takes up a lot of space. And for some reason, on the stand itself, there's a hole like in the center here to route cables through, but the power adapter for the monitor can't be put through this, like the connector.
Too big to go through the...
Yeah, there's like a little thing on it that makes it too big, so I didn't get that. But beyond that, I really, really like this monitor. Like I said, 3-year warranty, amazing. It is expensive. It's $799 it's $800. But it's the top of the line when it comes to performance, quality, and all the other features that are kind of built into this. You know, again, you have the USB ports, the sort of KBM feature. You have the alternate mode. So if you are bringing a laptop home and you want to connect it to the screen, you can easily do that with just one cable. All the OLED care stuff. It's just a really great monitor. So if, like I said, if you're looking for like the top of the line and you're a serious fast paced style gamer and you want the best performance and you have a system that can push it, like I said, you need something 4070 Ti and above, I would say, to really push this monitor. So if you have that,
is it, I don't remember if you said, is it, G-Sync compatible, or is it
it's AMD FreeSync Pro compatible.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it has everything you want. Believe cool. me. I don't want to give it back. That's why I'm gonna play games on it tonight, because it's that good. It's like, yeah. It's like you don't notice certain things in games until you play on like a monitor like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Especially playing like Helldivers. I'm like, wow, this looks so good. You know, compared to playing it on here, it looks amazing.
And it's not like your main monitor is like a crappy monitor. It's just that there's such a difference between a standard monitor and an OLED monitor like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So check out the review. We'll be doing a full length video on it by next week as well. So definitely. Yeah. One of the funner things. I got to play games to review the monitor. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you took a look at a new AIO from Deepcool. I don't know if you want to bring it up on the screen here.
I brought it up on the screen here. Yeah, so I took a look at the Deepcool Mystique 360. This is an all-in-one that we saw, like the monitor, at CES this last year. And so they sent over a sample of it, and I was happy to give it a look. So Deepcool does make this in a 240 and a 360 millimeter version. So if you want a smaller one, you can go with that as well. They also make both sizes in a white version as well. So you've got some color and size options, which is pretty cool there. Let's just get right into taking a closer look at this thing. Comes with all the hardware you need, you know, for current AMD and Intel platforms. So got everything that you need there for mounting this up. But for the most part, this is a pretty basic, standard-looking all-in-one cooler, aside from the fact that it has an LCD screen on the pump housing, right? Which is something we're seeing more and more with, right? I think we looked at the height unit that is just crazy-looking anyways with its huge screen. But we've seen screens from Corsair, NZXT, Asus recently, right? We had that review. So now here's Deepcool's version that we've got as well. But I really I kept calling it like a professional look to this cooler. It's not like a flashy look. And I really like it. It's just like a
no RGB fans. So
there are no RGB fans on this. You are correct. There are a couple RGB zones on this, on the pump cooling, the pump housing, but I really like the look of it. It's just like a streamlined, like no frills, but just like classy look. I don't know. I just really like the look and design of this. Has your standard 360 millimeter radiator. It's 27 millimeters thick. So back to that kind of standard thickness that we typically get with all-in-one coolers, and a pretty good fin density here at 20 fins per inch. And again, it has, we saw this with Deepcool's, what was it, the LS720 that we reviewed about a year ago or so. They have their unique pressure relief valve here on the side of the radiator. And what that does is when the cooler heats up and the liquid inside there heats up, right, it's going to expand. And a lot of times you'll end up with liquid either coming out of a unit via a seam or, you know, penetrating the rubber hoses, all sorts of ways, and you can lose some of that liquid in the cooler. Well, what this device here on the side of the radiator does is it actually expands out a bit, so it increases the volume inside of this loop so that you don't have any of that liquid cooling loss, which is pretty cool. So they've, you know, continued on with that solution on this cooler as well. So I was happy to see that there. Another nice thing I really liked was a lot of times on these all-in-one coolers, we get just like a real basic, almost cheap looking crimped on connectors for the tubing. Not with this one. Deepcool put some nice gunmetal satin covers over those. It's just like those little touches of detail that make this look nicer than your run of the mill all-in-one cooler. We have braided hosing there as well on the cooler. And here's just a quick look at that pump housing and the screen. It's a 2.8 inch LCD. It's 640 by 480. However, it can be 480 by 640 because it has a built-in gyroscope that knows which orientation you have it in, whether you've got it in more of a portrait style or a landscape style.
That's cool.
Orientation. Yeah, so you can mount this up. The way the mounting hardware goes onto it, you can mount it, you know, in either orientation, and it will kind of reconfigure itself based on that. But again, you can see here, it's just like a really, I don't want to call it plain looking, just a no frills type of cooler there. We have the same
like it's like covers. like you said, it's like a very professional look.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And like the sides of it are very plain. Again, we have those, you know, fittings there that look really nice on the side. There are, as you can see, a lot of cables though coming out of this cooler, which I'm not a huge fan of. There's four cables that come out of the body of this pump housing. You've got, you know, RGB lighting, you've got your 3-pin monitoring for your pump speeds, you've got power, and you have
USB as well.
Yeah, and your USB, thank you. So that you can control the screen. So you've got four cables coming out of there, which is kind of a
I feel like you were spoiled by the height cooler.
Yes, absolutely. I understand that, right? Like we're not going to get away from this from everyone, but at the same time, like Arctic Cooling, their AIO that I looked at probably 2-3 years ago, it ran all the cooling up similar to how height did for the fans and everything, right? It didn't have a screen on it or anything, but they ran all of that up through there, and it was a clean look as well. So it's doable. It's just we're not there just yet. Sides of the housing, like I said, it's just a very plain looking unit. On the side, this is like the left side, and the right side looks identical, but under here there's some RGB lighting zones. So you can kind of get like a underglow backlighting.
I feel like that's like a thing. Cause the height one had that too. And I feel like that's
The height had the lighting on the back of the screen. This one has it on the sides of the body, and it kind of, you know, illuminates the area around your cooler that maybe a, you know, if you had a heat sink with an RGB fan on it or something, it might get lit up by that. This is just a way that Deepcool lights up the area around your CPU area. Pre-applied thermal paste makes installation super easy. You don't have to worry about putting any of that on there. And then we've got these FT12 SE fans. These are pre-installed in a push configuration. So that's another really nice installation piece that I like. As long as those fans are in the right orientation, I use push orientation in the test bench that I run. So that was perfect for that. Just speeds up.
I feel like most people do. It's very rare that somebody's installing an AIO like on the front.
On the front, right?
It's very rare.
Yeah, this just speeds things up. They've got a range of 500 to 2150 RPMs. Some good air pressure and airflow with them. They're nice and sturdy fans. They've got a nice rubber pad at each corner to keep, vibrations and noise, things like that, to a minimum. And they are daisy chained with each other. Now, there's no RGB, like Bob said. These aren't a lit up fan. But they're not like cableless. We've seen a couple cableless designs again from NZXT, Asus, Li and Li, right? With just a pogo type connectors between fans. These are not like that. They still have kind of a daisy chain cable, but it's better than nothing. It's better than a long cable going from every fan back to a like lighting hub or a 3-to-1 pigtail, right? So still a really nice convenience piece there for installing this. Keeps cable mess to a minimum. Installing super easy. Again, here's another view of those fans on the side. And it's nice because you could also daisy chain, if you wanted, another fan onto the end here, or another set of items. You're not capped at the end of this one. You just got to make sure that whatever header it is you're plugging into can support more than three fans. Like I said, it has the option of installing Intel or AMD hardware. So I put on the AMD hardware here, and you could mount this, right here. I've got it on these sides, but you could flip these brackets to go on the top or bottom if you wanted to have that orientation changed for the way that cooler's laid out. You take off the standard AMD mounting hardware and put some mounts on. Super simple install, just threads on with thumb screws. And here's just kind of a quick look at the system.
Yeah, very professional look. And I do like the gunmetal.
Yeah, it's really nice. I'm glad they didn't go with just black or the white, and the white looks good too. Don't get me wrong, it's still neat. Yeah, I think this would look really good in like a workstation, like a graphics workstation or something like that. I think that could be really cool looking. Test wise, this thing performed pretty well. Idle tests or idle temperatures were towards the bottom of our. Whoops, I put that in the wrong spot there. I'll fix that. Yeah, so 28 degrees idle for our cooler here, which is right, towards the middle, lower end on idle, but it's low temperatures. We're again tied for best or second best with a lot of other 360 degree coolers that we've had. But right now, Deep Cool is at the top of the charts for our cooling in this test bench. So really nice to see that there. Really great performance out of this thing. Which I really liked. There is software that goes along with this. Obviously, you want to be able to control what is on that screen. And you can do that with the software for the Mystique 360. So I've got some screenshots, and there's also a video on the page as well. This should be a video.
There's an issue. There's an issue with embedding right now on the website.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So there's a video. I go over kind of the menu structure and controlling this and show you all the things that you could put on the screen. You can have it showing temperatures, speeds, voltages, animated images, just about whatever you want on there, right? So you can do all sorts of stuff with this. Here you can see kind of that back glow from around the sides of the cooler, and just one of those screens there. So it gives you kind of that back glow look, which I really liked. And I liked a lot of the built-in screen animations that they had. There's not quite as many as we've seen with, like Asus had a lot of stock options for you. There's not a lot of difference between the Deepcool options, but there's still quite a few. And you could, like I said, always put your custom stuff on there, but you could put animated images, like a picture of me dancing, there's another cool thing though that I liked, and I have it enabled on this, is the RGB lighting on the sides can match up to the whatever is on the screen.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like that, with TVs, you see the ambient light that matches, because you can see here, there's like this little brownish orangish color that matches the color of the table, and then the greenish color here, and it works really well. It's really pretty cool.
Very cool
that they added that option there. So yeah, I gave this an 8 out of 10. It sells for 180, which I think is a pretty good price for the performance you get, the LCD screen. You know, you've got a 2.8 inch screen here. You've got your software support, pre-installed fans, which makes things super nice. You know, you don't have a lot of cable mess other than the four cables coming out of the body, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but you can route them, right? You can kind of hide them,
yeah,
depending on your install and everything. And yeah, no, I was really happy with this. I really enjoyed reviewing it. Install super easy. Like I said, I love the look of it. Performance is awesome. I think it's a really nice option here.
Nice. For you.
So yeah.
Well, very cool. Yeah, no, I really like the look of that. And I like how it's just like, I feel like we're just every, go ahead.
I was gonna say one thing I wanted to touch on as well. Even though you've got the software for it, it's only going to control the like screen and the pump itself, right? It doesn't have fan speed control in the software, okay, because those fans are just connecting to your motherboard.
PWM.
So just something to keep in mind there.
Gotcha. We had a couple questions in the chat. Old man did say, what's the software like for the screen? Ryan has a full video that is in the review. And if for some reason you're having an issue seeing videos, embedded videos on the site, I just realized that it was messed up because I updated a bunch of plugins on the site today and it messed some stuff up. So we'll get that fixed. It is on the YouTube channel as well, if you want to see it.
And it's all narrated, and I like go through the menu and then have a like sub shot of like video of it live showing exactly what's changing. So
yeah, Ryan did a really good job on that. So definitely check that out. And then Corey said, can the naked eye even notice a Hertz difference to 240 or max? Yes. Especially I remember the first time that I always had like a 60 Hertz monitor. And then I got a 75 Hertz monitor, and like you change that in the NVIDIA settings and you're like, hey, my mouse is just so smooth. Like what? Like you do notice a difference. Sure. And again, you do notice a difference going from like 144 to 240 and from 240 to 360. More in games, you notice it a lot more, but but yeah, like I said, but you don't, as much as we talk about the monitor, like you don't need 360 Hertz for most things, unless you're like, again, a serious gamer, you want the best performance on FPS. Like that's why you would get something like that. But yeah, you can definitely tell the difference for sure. Our last review is of this, I'll make myself big here so you guys can see this. This portable SSD right here from Lexar. This is their professional SL600 USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 drive. It's just like any other portable SSD. The only thing that's a little bit different about this one is that it does have all aluminum construction. So it's really, really nice. Single type C right there, as you can see. Now, the interesting thing about this is that it's basically the same as this other drive that I have right here. These two the are lights. From Lex. Yeah. So this was their SL66 something Blaze. I forget what it's called. But it's essentially the same drive. And I've had this one for over a year. It's kind of beat up a little bit because I've used it quite a lot, but they're essentially the same drive. They just made this one as part of their professional line to really cater to digital creators, photographers who need to transfer a lot of data. So with USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, you are going to get speeds of up to 2000 megabytes a second, which is the fastest you're going to get on USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. So in our testing, right up to the specifications, let me add me in here. So, you know, you can see in Crystal Dismark, we're right around those speeds, which is really, really nice. And this competes very well against all the other USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 drives that we've tested. And you can get this up to, I believe, up to 4 terabytes, I believe.
Nice.
So the 2 terabyte version that I reviewed is $196. There's nothing like it's a portable drive that works, that performs up to its speeds, good quality. So I can't really say anything bad about it. So I gave it a 10 out of 10 and recommend it. And it's a really nice size too. Some of these are like really thin, or not thin, but like, I don't know, I have one here. Like this one. So like this one's from Kingston. and nothing against Kingston, but like this just doesn't fit in your pocket as well because it's a little bit thicker. This one's thinner, and it's almost like a wallet, if that makes sense. So I feel like it fits just better in my pocket if I'm using this in my pocket. So so yeah, really liked it. Definitely check out the review there. We'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build in the Height Y70 Touch. This one is from Archetype Origins, and it's called Monochrome. Really nice black and white design here. It just flows really well. I hate to call it simple watercoloring, but it's very, very simple, very just kind of to the point, you know, Bits Power cooling here and some EK cooling as well. So Bits Power fittings, EK on the blocks. Any thoughts on this one?
Fans. No, it looks great. Yeah, I like this. Like you said, it's, you hate to call it simple, but it's just, it looks like it's straightforward. There's no crazy bends or anything. Everything just looks like it fits well,
and I feel like the colors go so well. So the chrome goes well with the white lighting that they're using, and then the, you know, the black, the case is black, and you know they've designed the screen at the front, so whatever they put on the screen here is like this black and white, which is going to look great. And it's nice to see, like, because if the Height Y70 is still kind of small. So they mounted the reservoir here to the fans, which is pretty cool. Yep. A better shot. You can
see. That's how mine is in my build.
Okay, I didn't know that. I don't remember your build. It's been a while.
That's all right.
You need to do a new one. That's what you need to do. Yeah,
I do.
But yeah, it's mounted to the fans, which is pretty cool. So yeah, just a really, like, again, I hate to call it simple because it's not, because I could, I mean, maybe I could do it, but you know what I mean? It's just, yeah, it just works. I love builds that just work, and there's no crazy complexity to it. It's just a good solid build. So shout out to Archetype Origins for this build. Of course, we have their Facebook linked and everything like that if you want to check it out, and the video that they did, and the embedding is working on my end right now. So
wonderful.
On the website. So yeah, so go ahead and check all of that out if you want to do it. And of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if you do want to see a bunch of builds on the site, all you do is just go to articles, Case Mod Friday. How many pages do you think we have by now?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Take a guess.
Like 73.
63. Oh, you're close. 63 right. Pages of builds. So we have quite a lot. So if you want to check that out, definitely go ahead and do that. We'll move on to news. Lots of gaming handheld news. The first thing is, is it me or just like, did the ROG Ally already come out? Like it just came out.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like it's brand new though. Like I feel like we've had it for a while.
Okay.
But not like long enough to lead to this story.
Yeah. So apparently Asus is going to come out with an ROG Ally X, and it's essentially an ROG Ally. You're not getting much difference as far as it's running the same APU, the Z1 Extreme. So it's still gonna have that. It's going to have more battery life. I think it's the thing a lot of people did complain about was the battery life. More RAM and more storage. So from what we've heard, the battery is supposed to be 40% better battery life. Wow. more RAM. And it's going to be 1 terabyte. So with the ROG Ally, the one that had the Z1 Extreme, you could get it with 512 gig and 1 terabyte. This one's only going to be 1 terabyte. Don't know the RAM options, but it's supposed to be $799. So, again, the higher end of the handheld market. But I think this is like an easy fix. Obviously, since the introduction of the ROG Ally, battery technology has gotten better. So maybe they're able to get that battery for maybe the same price as they got the previous battery. Sure. So you're getting more battery life. You know, you're going to pay a little bit more for more RAM and some storage. But I think, again, the big complaint for some people has been battery life. So they kind of address that. They have something to launch in this segment because everybody's coming out with these. And like, I mean, again, it hasn't been that long since the ROG Ally came out, but just like you said, it seems like it's been out for a little bit and people are kind of looking to the next thing maybe. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this,
I think they bumped it up to be in what, a 2280 size NVMe slot on this one.
Probably if they wanted more storage. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, you know, that gives you more options for in the future, even having a larger than terabyte drive in there.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Something new, something, you know, but it's going to have, you know, you're not getting a new LCD. You're not getting a new processor. You know, it's just going to be the battery and some better, more RAM and more storage. So we'll keep you updated on when this is going to come out. But I assume Computex, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be Computex.
Especially if they're teasing it right now.
Now, this is cool. This is like the whole reason I love gaming handhelds. We saw, was it 2 weeks ago? We talked about the Ryzen, the person who made the their own.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, somebody decided to take an ROG Ally and add a second screen to it. So this is pretty cool. So this is what it looks like. a little pop-up screen there. Like, what was that?
The DS?
Yeah, like a Nintendo DS almost. But I think this is really cool. Obviously, they had to mod and add the second screen in themselves. You can see that they had to kind of re-3D print the back of this to add the extra hardware back here to the screen. And this is the board with the screen on it and how it all works. But it's cool that it works. And like it's cool that this isn't so, like, this is a, you know, Windows machine, yep. You know, and it's a PC at heart. So you can do all these mods, which I think is really cool. And if you want to do something like this, you can do it, which I think is awesome. yeah, I like the two screens. I don't know how much heavier it would make it. Right? Right.
Well, and like, what's your battery life too with this thing now with two screens, and sure. You know, obviously performance as well, depending on what you're playing, but, or using it for.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool that you can do that with this hardware. It's not so locked down that none of this is possible.
Yeah, that's the thing I really like about it. So that's really cool. But we have links to all of this stuff if you want to see that in a little bit more detail. You know, we're talking about OLEDs. We're talking of, you know, obviously the other competing is Mini LED. We've both seen Mini LED and how amazing Mini LED is as far as brightness and individual pixels lighting up and all of that. But do we need that on a gaming handheld?
No.
Well, a company called AYN, they have a gaming handheld coming out that's going to have a Mini LED display. 1,100 nits on a gaming handheld. 155% of the sRGB. But yeah.
Yeah, what's it going to cost though? Because
maybe like, what's the battery life going to be on it too?
Yeah,
that's the thing that I worry about more than anything, is just like the battery life on something like that, because that's going to take up. I mean, 1,100 nits. That's really bright. Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're more. Yeah, I don't know. It's
yeah.
It reminds me of the PSP.
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of interesting. I think the gaming handheld, we're just seeing everything. We're seeing people just, you know, companies put out anything. Yep. And this market is really big. So it's cool to see what comes out, I think. I think that's the cool thing about it, is just to see, you know, what's coming out and how people are really pushing this smaller form factor. With cool stuff, and I mean, it's gonna look awesome. I mean, here's a Mini LED, you know, in your hand. Hour battery life, who knows? But old man in the chat says there was a Ion Neo Flip dual screen Windows handheld on India. Yeah, we talked about that one, the one that flipped open, and they have a couple like that. But talking about Switch. President of Nintendo, we've been talking about the Switch. When's the Switch 2 coming out? president of Nintendo confirmed Switch 2 will be announced this year.
Announced. No. Doesn't mean it's available.
Okay. Do you think... So you don't think holiday season we have Switch 2 in stores for holiday season?
No.
And that's a perfect time to launch it.
I know, but okay, we will make an announcement about the successor within this fiscal year. Nah, it's not going to be out in 2024.
Okay. Okay. That's your prediction. We'll write that down.
Okay.
So,
it's recorded.
So when it comes out on Black Friday.
No. Yeah.
You owe me a drink at CES or vice versa. Sure.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's the Switch 2. A lot of people, I mean, there's been a lot of hype around Switch 2. A lot of people are talking about it. So, now talking about something, and this is the new thing, and we've seen it. I mean, obviously AI is great, right? But now it's a catchphrase. Adding AI to this, we're adding AI to that, where this is the AI, this is, you know, and that's the thing you're going to see on tech. Oh, your phone, it's an AI phone, it's a blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it's going to be the catchphrase. You're going to see it over the next couple of years. Well, Minisform announced the world's first AI mini PC. Okay. It is their Atomman X70i. And I actually really like this mini PC. Really like it for a couple different reasons. One is that it has this really cool screen on it that shows like all of your stats, which I think is really cool. Dual 5 gig NICs on this too.
Bang.
They're right here. So you have that. This is not included. This is really cool. This is like this is their dock the graphics card dock that they have, which looks really cool, but that's not included with it. But it also has a webcam built in and it's on the stand. I think for like productivity, that's awesome. So they have a webcam built into it on the, you know, in the device, which is something you really don't see on a mini PC, but I think they've designed this really, really well. And you can connect up to 3 displays with this, like it, you know, and it, like I said, inside it does have a, Intel Ultra 9. It has Intel Iris Xe graphics. Supports AV1 encoding, so if you're doing anything like that.
These minis forum boxes are awesome.
Yeah, they do a lot. I don't feel like they get enough credit. You know, not that like we would use something like this, but for like, right. If you needed something that just kind of got the job done, but also had a lot of other really cool features, and these look great. Like, that looks really cool, like sitting on your desk. And again, it has the webcam built in.
Depending on what you can show on that screen, right? Like it could show like in this, they're showing it looks like CPU, GPU, like techie stuff. But like if you could show like your calendar or your next like items at work, you know, like here's your calendar items. Here's like that. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, because like I feel like the, you know, like the all-in-one PCs with the screw, like it's like looks like a monitor, but it's like I don't feel like those ever really took off.
Yeah, we use some at work in a couple use cases, but yeah, there's a lot of cool things you can do with them, and you know where you don't have room for a PC or something, or you don't want cabling, right? Everything's all in one. But yeah, I don't think they took off. There was a while when everybody, it seemed like they were designing them for like everybody to have in like their kitchen, like it's the family computer, right? The family computer. I think they were popular for that for a while. But you also have like some heat issues sometimes.
I could see these being deployed in like an office setting more than, you know, they're small, comes on a stand. Obviously it looks like you can adjust the stand too, you know, because this one's angled.
Dual 5 gigs interesting too.
Well, this is made for AI. You can do AI modeling and all that kind of stuff.
Bandwidth to,
And it looks like they got some Adobe Premiere running or whatever video editor this is. They got some coding over here. They got whatever.
They're doing everything.
Yeah. So, no, I just thought it was really cool. And it has an SD card slot. Something we don't get anymore. But yeah, that's pretty cool. It's you know, I thought it was pretty cool. But you will see AI be added to everything, right? It's all, everything's AI.
Yeah.
But I actually really like this mini PC. I think it's cool. So that is it for the mini PC news. We did get the leak on the Corsair One i500 when it came out. That is there. We talked about it even before when it was teased. Yeah. And then we had the leak a couple days before it came out. It's been out. There's reviews. If you want to get information on it, check out the reviews. I'll actually bring up the Corsair website so we can take a look at them. They had an interesting design. These wooden designs.
Yeah, it looks all right, but I'm surprised they came out with it as their initial offering. Right?
Yeah. And like, that's all, that's the only option you get.
Yep.
You get dark wood,
or light wood.
That's it. That's all you get.
I don't like the look of the light wood, to be honest.
I honestly like it better than the dark wood. Oh, I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, so
these are small.
These are small, like you can see, you know, decently small because there's a keyboard. Not cheap, obviously, but this is a fully fledged PC. So this is a Core i9-14900K. This one is the RTX 4090. 2 terabyte M.2 SSD, 64 gigabytes of DDR5, Windows 11 Pro, all liquid cooled inside. So this is kind of what it's, what it looks like. Everything is liquid cooled, including the GPU. You can kind of see the block and, you know, the pump right on it. Kind of interesting. And how the radiator pulls out. You know, that's going to go over top of everything.
It's got like a single 120 or 140 for the CPU, which is like interesting considering it's a 14900K, right? And then a dual fan larger radiator for the GPU.
Yeah.
Yeah, 14900K.
Yeah. Now, again, the original one that I took a look at, it wasn't like having like a normal tower cooling, but it was good. I assume this has to be decent. So they have two versions. They have this one, which again is the 4090 and the 14900K. The other one, if I can go back here, so that one's $4,400. The one that's $3,600 is 14900K and 4080 Super. I would honestly go with the 4080 Super.
And 32 gigs of RAM on that one.
Yeah, 32 gigs of RAM on that one. Yeah, pretty cool. I think these are really good. I like when I reviewed the initial one, I think they're really good for people who want a high performance PC that's kind of going to kind of sit on the desk, much like an Xbox Series X or a PS5. This is a little bit bigger than those, but around the same form factor. You don't have to worry about anything. You just turn it on and you're gaming, like, you know. Yep. I wish there was another option that was not wood. That's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, because I liked the all metal design of the previous ones. They looked really nice. Yeah. Not that these don't look nice, it's just not my style. I think the wood look is a much smaller customer base.
Old man in the chat said DeBauer reviewed the Corsair One i500 very poorly because of the cooling. So yeah, there are reviews out. I haven't seen or watched any of them, but there are reviews out of this system. So if you're interested, definitely, as we say with all products, go watch more than one review, see what these products do before you buy them. I like the form factor of this, but again, especially the 4090 and the 14900K, like those are two of the hottest product, like two of the hottest PC components that you can buy. And you're putting them in this smaller system that doesn't have a whole lot of airflow and only a 240 for the GPU and a 140 for the CPU. And again, in my opinion, you need at least a 360
for that CPU.
For the CPU.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah, so, like I said, interesting. I can't because I haven't watched any of the reviews or read any of the reviews of it, but we just want to tell you that it is available. And I like the design. I just wish it wasn't wood. It's not everybody's thing is the wood. That's all. Corsair did also announce their new MP700 Pro SE. This is a PCI Express 5.0 M.2 SSD. Speeds of up to 14,000 megabytes a second read and writes up to 12,000 megabytes a second. You need some of these speeds, Ryan, I think.
Well, I got to get a new motherboard first.
Yeah. So you can get this in just the drive itself that you would cool yourself, or Corsair does offer. So this is their water-cooled option, and then they have the heat sink. And the heat sink is not all type of – I don't have the crucial one, but it's about the same size. So it's not crazy, crazy big.
It's got a – does it have a fan on it at the end?
Can't tell. I don't think.
Okay. I wasn't sure if those were like screws. It looked like almost screws on the end of it.
Yeah, I don't know what that
is. To hold a fan or something.
Yeah. But yeah, so they have that available, 2 and 4 terabytes. I really wish we get up to like, 4 and 8 to be available. That would be nice. You can get some of those, but like for these newer drives, it's like we're still only getting up to 4. We really should get up to 8 terabytes on these.
Pretty sweet. But
yeah, that'd be
God, you could have so much fast storage on a board.
Yeah. Yeah. Last thing, Apple had their event. They announced new products. The biggest thing, of course, was the M4, which is replacing their M3. This is completely Apple-designed silicone. We've talked about it since the M1. Initial performance on this, and this is just in an iPad, so the TDPs are lower than what you would get in a MacBook or MacBook Pro. But initial testing shows it's 22% faster in single core and about 25% faster in multi-core performance. Dang. So good on Apple for this. I really want to get a new iPad really bad.
Are you going to use it though?
If I'm on a plane, I use it on the strip.
Okay.
I always feel like I did for a while. So like this 49-inch monitor, I'd have it sitting in front and it would like just like play stuff or like have widgets and stuff. But I just haven't. Yeah.
Maybe haven't done it. What iPad do you have now?
It's old.
Old. Okay.
It still uses the Lightning connector. That's how old it is. And Apple made that change to the Type-C maybe at least 3 years ago. If not more,
I mean, it's probably not as old as the iPad I have, but
and it's an iPad Pro, maybe maybe it's a first gen iPad Pro. I mean, it's old, but it, I mean, I use it on the plane to like if I connect to the internet, do emails, watch some
YouTube, maybe,
or like again, or just watch some videos on Netflix, like you can download all the shows before you,
right.
So do it for that. Or like if I just want to just like have something smaller with me than a laptop, it is a good device and it's still great. It's not like it's slow or anything. I just kind of want a new one. That type C connector opens up so many more possibilities for like, and you can't really buy, like if I wanted to get another accessory, like you can't really buy accessories anymore that use the Lightning connector for the iPad.
You can put your wireless mics on it now. You can put external storage real easily with Type-C.
There's so much more. So but cool to see. Like I said, I'm always like impressed by Apple as far as their CPUs since they came out with the M1, and just to see the progression of it. So pretty cool to see that. But that wraps up news for the week. Coming next week, I have it's right there. That's what I've been using to test this monitor. As well is a fully built custom PC from Yiyin. So this is one of their Phoenix systems. So it's this is what it looks like. It's actually we saw this case at CES. If you're not familiar with Yiyin, they make a bunch of stuff, but they do fully built PCs. So this one is going to have a Core i9 14900KF, RTX 4070 Ti Super, 32 gigabytes of DDR5. And it has a 360 millimeter AIO in there. All pre-built. You don't have to do anything. So yeah, so we'll have that for you guys next week, talking about if, you know, this is our first fully built system from Yi Yan. So we'll see if it's good, see if it's not good, see if it's worth picking up or not. So we'll tell you about that next week. And that brings us to the question of the week. And since I reviewed this monitor, the question of the week is, if you could have one single big monitor, like I have, like a 49 inch, whatever, but you can't do multiple. You can only have one big 49 inch, or would you have multiple 24s or 27s or whatever it may be? What would be your desired setup?
So I know you could, like, there's software you could get with the larger monitor to, like, lock, you know, windows in certain spots. I think I like the organization, or like the structure that multiple monitors give me, to keep like something on this window and not this. Like, I think if I have just a bigger canvas, then it becomes more chaotic for me, right? Okay. Unless I use some software that like always locks this application here and this one here, right? I think the, yeah. So for me, multiple monitors.
Okay. I'm the opposite. I like having one single monitor. And I think for me, it makes this setup just look nicer too, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think it does look nice, and I would probably adapt to it, right?
I think too, it's much like a phone. You know, like, I'm an iPhone person. I'm locked into the ecosystem. This is what I use, right? And you're like an Android person, and it's the same thing. It's like, once you're in that ecosystem, you know, as soon as I got my first ultra wide, I was like, this is it.
I'm never going back.
Yeah. And I don't think I would. It's just especially for productivity, it's, for me, it's the best thing. But I mean, I was doing dual monitors for a very long time, for a very, very long time. So, but I think for me, having one big canvas is great. Everything, I don't have to worry about trying to move it over to this, move it over to that. You know, I don't have all these wires either.
True. Just, yeah.
You know, so it just makes things for me a lot easier. But yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of how I would do it. Old Man in the chat says, I know someone going from an Intel i9 Apple laptop from 2022, a new Apple M3 laptop. The Intel i9 chip was thermal throttling, I think. Yeah, I think one of the big reasons that Apple made that change, well, there's a couple of reasons. One is that they can really control the silicone. Like, if you're designing it and building it yourself, you can control all of those things. And at the time, you know, this is like, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Intel was having all those security issues with all of their processors. So they didn't want to have to deal, you know, and again, Apple was like, they were using pretty much all Intel parts at the time. So, you know, I think those were the two main reasons, but they switched to their own silicon, and they can fully control everything. They can optimize a lot better too, because they're not using somebody else's product. But yeah. And yeah, there are a couple TVs that you could use for like big monitors. Yeah. What is this Samsung cockpit one called again?
Are you talking about just the one that's vertical and goes?
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. I do like that.
Okay.
And I could, yeah, it'd be nice to have three of them. As I always tell Jim from Home Gadget Geeks, you got to get three. You can't just get one. You got to get three of them to have that. But also, as we come to the end here, we talk about anything else tech-related that you saw, that you did, that you want to talk about.
I don't know. Now I'm scrolling to find what that monitor's called.
I can find it.
Those Samsung monitors. The Odyssey.
Yeah. Odyssey.
The Arc.
Yeah. Odyssey Arc. Yeah, that's it. Anything
you did tech-related? Let's see here. I charged my phone on this with this battery. Dude, this thing has been... I love this thing.
Okay.
It's just a battery bad, you know.
I did bring that exact one on my trip.
It's so
handy. It has the thing that's nice about it has the cable built in.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about bringing a cable. That's what's nice.
I think that's it. Yeah, in the last 2 weeks. Nothing.
I did finish watching what was that show on Amazon that I was talking about? Video game show. Why can't I think of it now?
Was it a video game show?
Yeah, it's a show based on a video game.
The only one I can think of is Last of Us, but
no. Fallout.
Oh yeah.
I finished that. It was really good.
I think we're like 3 episodes into it.
Yeah, it's good. I really liked it. I'm trying to think if I haven't really watched anything else, mainly YouTube stuff. And like I said, we have a lot of stuff going on. So I know I don't really like I haven't talked about it much, but I've been kind of slow on the long form content videos. But I have like 4 or 5 that I'm like currently working on now. And we have a couple big projects coming up with some companies. So long form videos are going to be coming and hopefully get a lot of those up. And then, of course, you know, we have Computex coming up as well. So expect a lot of coverage from that too. We'll have a lot of that going on as well, but lots of cool stuff coming. We got some more stuff coming out to Ryan as well. And, you know, some new AIOs and some other stuff as well. So lots of stuff going on. But yeah, that is basically it for this week. Of course, Ryan is going to be running our gaming stream. I'm going to move over there to the OLED and hopefully I'm better. Maybe it's just all in my mind. Maybe it's all in my mind. Maybe I'm not good on the OLED.
Who knows? We'll find out. He bought an alpha or old man bought an alpha cool D5 pump res combo. I didn't realize he was on a custom loop.
Me neither.
Kingston NV2 1 terabyte M.2 drive for $35. It was on sale. That's wild.
There's been some really good sales. There's a lot of good sales going on. We put them out on social media. Like if you follow us on Twitter or Facebook or what's the new one called Threads? We have Threads account as well. We put out deals every day there on Amazon, and there's some great Ryzen deals right now. Everything's on sale. All the prices are going down because there's nothing new coming, at least not until Computex time. So.
I'll show old man this because he'll appreciate it. But I haven't talked about comics in a while, but that one showed up today, old man. So Nova number one. So
is that a good one?
Yeah, it's great.
How much is that worth?
I don't know. Don't worry about it.
I was wondering how much you're spending on comics. You gotta watch out, you know.
I think I paid $75 for that.
Like how much is it worth though?
In that
like 75?
Not $75, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Probably maybe a little more.
Gotcha. All right, guys. Well, like I said, we will have the gaming stream up over on Twitch. Ryan runs that, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And this week, I will say that we will see you next week because we will be doing a podcast next week.
Yes.
We won't be skipping, at least not for the foreseeable future. So we will see everybody next week. And thanks, everybody, for coming out. Old man and Corey in the chat. Definitely good to see you guys. And let's get gaming.
All right.